I'm Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Lieutenant Jeremy Weske here for our regular update from Juneau Police Department. Hello, Lieutenant.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You've got kind of a long list of things to discuss today, so let's just start at the top. First up, National Night Out is coming up. When is that?
That is going to be Tuesday, August 2nd, I believe. It runs from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It will be like it has been in years past, so people can sign up for block parties. They can do that through Jennifer Adams here at the Juneau Police Department. If no one remembers that name, they can just call the main line at JPD and ask to speak to the person in charge of National Night Out. We like to get neighborhoods to put little block parties together. They get a chance to interact with each other, have a good time. And then groups of first responder agencies come out, and we bring fire trucks and police cars, and sometimes National Guard comes, and some other different entities come along and bring cool stuff. We have mascots sometimes that come along with us. Kids get to get little swag bags, and we just go out and interact with people, and it's a great time. And I've participated in probably 7 of them, and they've all been real well received. It's worth it for people who are putting block parties on. It's good to get to know your neighbors, and it's good for us to get out and see people and answer any questions they might have and just interact on in a non-stressful type of way.
What would you say? I mean, you kind of touched on it already, but what are some of the goals for National Night Out?
The biggest goal is, one, to get the community, neighborhoods, to get in touch with each other. You can really tell a difference in neighborhoods where people are connected, where they're sharing information with each other, where they're watching out for each other, as opposed to neighborhoods where people are disconnected. And that happens in our society now. We've become a little more disconnected. And so it's good to get people out, get them together, get them having conversations. A lot of groups end up forming neighborhood watches out of this. They realize that there are other people in their neighborhood who are interested in the same things they are, and they want to make sure the neighborhood's safe. So we love that. And the other benefit is that you and children in your area get exposed to first responders in a way that's positive, in a way that's not during an emergency situation. And so that's always good exposure for people to have. And we just enjoy meeting people in the community and answering any questions that we can.
Yeah, that sounds like it's a win all around for everybody involved. So that is August 2nd, 7 to 9 p.m. And then another big event of August is fast upon us, the one I know you wanted to talk about. And, of course, I'm talking about Iron Man. Can you share a little about how that will affect us here in town and how JPD will be preparing?
Yeah, so community effect will start to be felt. The event is on Sunday, August 7th. You'll start to have athletes coming in early that week. They come, they want to test the course, they want to see what's around, they want to get comfortable while they're here because they're about to, go on this gigantic run, bike, swim, and so they want some time to get accustomed and acclimated. So we'll just see an increase of people, kind of like you would notice downtown with cruise ships coming in. You're going to have that same feeling, but it will be throughout town. You'll have people who are housed in the valley, Lemon Creek, all over the place. And then there will be some events going on. I think there's some events at UAS happening in UAS campus. There'll be some events at Thunder Mountain High School. There might be some downtown as well. So that's just kind of, it's not going to be anything that's super disruptive. You'll just see more people. And then, of course, the big ticket item is Sunday, August 7th. That's when the race will be held. And that runs from 6 in the morning till about 11:30 or 12 at night. Before the last athlete finishes, there will be one road closure, or I guess two road closures. So there'll be Back Loop Road between University Drive and the Off Bay Roundabout is going to be closed for about 3 hours at the very beginning of the race. The roundabout itself leading into Off Bay and then back, of course, inbound towards the valley will be shut down to one lane during that same time, so early morning hours, 6 to 9:30, 6 to 10. And that's to allow cyclists to get out onto the road unencumbered, so we're not having cyclists and vehicles crossing paths and having any accidents. The rest of the roads are going to be open except for the northern entrance or exit of Lena Loop Road will be closed, and you'll have to go through the southern exit. That's the one closest to Auk Rec. That will be closed through the entire, through most of the entire race. So early morning hours, 8 o'clock-ish until probably 5 to 6 at night before the last cyclist gets done with their, with that section. So that will be a little bit of a disruption. And then outside of that, there are just going to be some areas where you're going to have to stop while cyclists or runners cross the road. There will be police there directing that traffic, but there'll be no long-term closures anywhere. There'll just be quick stops like you might find in the construction zone.
Are you going to run it?
Absolutely not. Never will I ever. I have the utmost respect for people who do, but I think that they are unhinged to bike, run, and swim that far.
All right. Just thought I would ask. I know you JPD officers like to stay in shape. I'm not running it either. Okay. Well, again, that's, like you said, the big event is August 7th, Sunday, all day, multiple closures around town. Thank you so much for the rundown. Is there one place we could go to like check out and get all that information in one place?
I don't know that for sure. I would guess that on the Ironman Juneau website, there might be information, but I also know that the Ironman group is going to be sending out mailers to every address in town that will detail all the road closures and road and delays and things like that. So some, you should be expecting that mailer.
Well, that's really nice of them. Cool. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the info on that. And moving on down the list, one thing I know you wanted to talk about today is how drivers should respond to an emergency vehicle pulled over on the side of the road. What made you want to bring this to our attention today? Just some bad habits you've seen?
Yeah, you know, we during the summertime, when the weather gets good, we start to see a little more traffic. We start to see a little faster traffic. Just coincidentally, Lieutenant Campbell put a press release out about it yesterday. So I know that some officers are kind of feeling it when they're out in the roads. Where we notice it most, of course, is on Egan. But what we want people to be aware of is that if they see an emergency vehicle on the side of the road, whether that's the left side, which would be abnormal, or the right side, you as a driver have a responsibility to vacate that lane. If you can't vacate the lane closest to where the emergency vehicle is, you have to slow down substantially and move over as far as you can. There are going to be times where you can't get over in the other lane without causing more problems. But if that's the case, you need to slow down. And if you can get over, you need to get over. I know that when you're driving in your car and you're passing by somebody, you may feel comfortable going at a certain speed, and you know that you're not going to cause a problem. But for us standing on the side of Egan, it's very uncomfortable to feel cars go by you at 50 miles an hour, fairly close to you. And I don't know that many people know this, but traffic fatalities are statistically either the top or top two main reasons why law enforcement officers die every year. So that portion of our job is statistically one of the most dangerous. And so we just want to reduce that risk as much as we can. And I know that a lot of people don't know that they're supposed to do that. So we like to put some education out there, let people know. If you're not on Egan, if you're on a single lane road, you still have the same duty. You need to slow down and move over as far as you can, and slow down slower than you think that you need to, because what you feel like is slowing down doesn't really feel that slow to us standing there. So maybe just drop it down a few 10 more miles an hour when you're going by, and we really appreciate it. It allows us to maintain our focus on what we're doing, and it just avoids any catastrophes.
I think it would be pretty scary to get out of my car, pull over and get out of my car on Egan. So I'm glad you brought that to everyone's attention. Thank you for the reminder on the rules of the road there. And sadly, there have been some really awful traffic accidents this summer. There are two fatalities that I know of. One resulted in some really serious injuries. Is there anything you want to share about how we can prevent any more of these accidents happening?
Yeah, I mean, they've just been, you know, tragic. And we've had too many of these happening. I mean, one is too many, but of course we've seen a cluster, and we don't like to see that. We, again, it kind of goes back to education. We say this every year or so, we give this speech, but people really need to be paying attention. So there are a couple of things. One, for pedestrians or non-vehicular traffic, if you're at a crosswalk and you're going to cross the road, you really have to make sure that that car that's coming up the crosswalk sees you. To the point that I would recommend that you wait until they're stopped before you move, not just you see them kind of slowing down, you think they see you, you move. You are never going to win the battle with a car, and spending an extra 10 seconds on the side of the road while you wait for cars in both directions to stop for you, it's worth the delay in your journey. You just never know, and you don't want to be out there halfway in the intersection and realize the person didn't actually see you. The advice I want to give to vehicles driving is to make sure that you're not distracted. I think we have all been in situations where we've been in our car, we've been distracted, we've looked up and realized we narrowly avoided something bad. And it's a terrible feeling. And you are just 1 5-second distraction away from changing your life forever and changing somebody else's life forever. And that's obviously not worth it. So we would just ask drivers, when you're on the road, especially in Juneau, you are never driving for more than 10 minutes. You can be distractionless for 10 to 15 minutes. Really pay attention to what you're doing, and just avoid any and all distractions that you can, because things change in an instant, and you just don't want that to happen to you. And then lastly, something that we notice, especially now in the summer, we have more cyclists on the road. Reminder to cyclists that you, as a cyclist, need to be obeying the rules of the road like a car. So you're driving in the same direction as a car when you're going down the road. I'll often see cyclists driving the opposite way. And the problem with that is you're moving at a speed similar to a car. So drivers have looked for a pedestrian maybe before they pull out of traffic, but then they look back where they're expecting cars to be, and then watching them come at them before they enter into traffic. Well, if you're driving the wrong way on your bicycle, the car is not as likely to see you and may pull out in front of you, may hit you. So make sure that when you're on your bicycle, you are following the rules of the road, that you're traveling in the same direction as cars, and that can help save accidents. I know I've responded to multiple collisions throughout my career where it was because a cyclist was driving the wrong direction and the car just wasn't expecting someone to be there.
Hmm. Well, thank you so much for all that information. I'm so sorry we're out of time, so I got to wrap this up. Jeremy Wesky, Lieutenant Jeremy Wesky from Juneau Police Department, thank you so much for talking with me today. All great stuff that you had to share. And I also really appreciate the press releases that you all put out. It's informative. It answers a lot of questions. It helps keep people in the know. So thanks for that too.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me.
Talk to you next time.